morning. It's Monday, June 3rd. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru, Chris Bellina, and we are just chugging along on our series about the offseason player movement and drafting players and all the teams one by one here. We've really made some movement, and I know that Chris is excited here because we get to talk about one of the biggest train wrecks in the NFL starting right off, and that's the New York Jets.
You know, I don't even know where to start with this organization.
I don't know if they know where to start.
You know, let's just talk. We'll talk about him from an NFL perspective and then a fantasy perspective, because there's a lot of humor when you talk about him as from an NFL perspective. From a fantasy perspective, I'll make it crystal clear. Ain't nobody worth drafting. From a football, I mean, that's not true. You trade away best cornerback probably in the last 15 years, only to basically draft one in the first round. Don't get that move.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you were so sold on Geno Smith as your quarterback of the future, why did you wait to the second round to get him and give up where all these other teams who needed a quarterback were picking before you in the second round and then sell it like he's your quarterback? You really love this guy. Well, if you like him, why don't you take him in the first round?
Right.
So basically it's a quarterback again. Sanchez, if I were him, I'd be like, please cut me, trade me, get me out of here. I don't care where. Because, you know, and how big of an idiot is the general manager? I heard a comment he said when they had all these quarterbacks in Garrard and this one, our quarterback situation is day to day. What? Your quarterback situation needs to be decade to decade, not day to day. Draft a guy and let me see you in 10 years and then go get another guy in 10 years. The fact that your quarterback situation is day to day means you don't have a quarterback, which means there's no fantasy value for anybody on any team from the Jets. Now, if you're in a dynasty league, you take Geno Smith and hope. But as long as he's got the clowns around him, Geno Smith is going to have a hard time developing. Just look at the predecessor.
Exactly.
Or Mark Sanchez. What makes, and this guy has shown he's got soft skin, whining like playing and acting like a little, very like a big baby because of where he got drafted. Bottom line was, you weren't a first round pick. And the Jets, they can sing you the song saying that they loved you and this and that. They did, they would have taken you in the first round. As far as the quarterback situation for the Jets, it is a colossal mess. Your quarterback situation can't be day-to-day, like the general manager said. It needs to be decade by decade. Look at all the teams that are contending for Super Bowls every year. They've had the same quarterback in place for the last 5 to 7 years or more, and will have that same quarterback for 5 to 7 more years. Just look at their crosstown rivals, the Giants, or in-town rivals, the Giants. Decade to decade. Running back situation. Really liked Mike Goodson going to that team. I figured he would be like a fire under that offense. Catch the ball out of the backfield, breakaway speed, and his limited action with Carolina and Oakland looked like a pretty good running back. And then gets caught with drugs and guns, which in New Jersey, that's the last state you want to get caught with.
Yeah, in New York, New Jersey area with a gun, nice job.
You're finished.
Look back at Plaxico Burress,
Yeah, exactly. Now, Chris Ivory, if he was going to any other team and being named the starter, I'd say good fantasy value. He's on the Jets. Which means with your quarterback situation, he may see 10-man fronts.
Yes.
And as good as he's looked in New Orleans, the reason why he's looked good is you don't know who to cover in New Orleans. Do you play the pass? Do you play the run? The linebackers are covering Graham, leaving gaping holes for anybody to run through.
Well, when they play New Orleans, they got to make sure they cover the uncovered tackle even. So
Right. So Chris Ivory, I'm not comfortable going in with him as my number one. I'd go with him as my flex or my bye week running back until I really see what the Jets are going to do on offense. As of right now on paper, they are going to do nothing. They don't have a tight end. In the league driven by tight ends now, where tight ends are probably one of the biggest weapons you're going to have on offense, they don't have one. In an offense where, having a third down back is crucial, a guy like a Sproles, somebody along those lines, they don't have anybody like that to take some pressure off of their quarterbacks. An outlet receiver like a tight end or a scat back, nothing. So no fantasy value for running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends. Now, wide receivers, Clyde Gates is probably going to be their number three wide receiver. Okay? That tells you right there, this is a recipe for disaster. Santonio Holmes, who, unless he's playing in a big game, which there will be none for the Jets, he's disinterested. And he's coming off an injury. I'll take him.
He hasn't played in over a year, it seems like. He seems like a guy that everybody has forgotten about, Santonio.
Well, and that's the thing, too. He is one of the biggest big-game wide receivers I've seen. For a guy whose head's not screwed on right, he knows when to show up. Look at some of the playoff games he had as a Jet against the Steelers. Look what he's done for the Steelers. Big touchdowns against Baltimore in the championship game. Big touchdowns, obviously, in the Super Bowl and MVP. But I guess he got to really light a fire under him. And you know what? The Jets should have, you know, stamped him healthy and looked to trade him to a contender.
His injury was completely overshadowed by the rest of the circus that was there.
Well, right. And then you
kind of just forgot he's even on the team with that mess of a franchise.
And then you have Stephen Hill.
Yeah.
Who you draft, and your coach immediately comes out in public and says, I didn't want the guy. Well, there's a glaring endorsement from your head coach. You know, I mean, that needs a weapon, and you're the one they drafted, and he comes out immediately and says, well, I didn't want this guy.
Well, again, that's him. That's the problem with that guy. He doesn't think you even need to have an entire offense to win football.
Well, again, you know, last year they sent offense, them and the Cardinals sent the offense back 100 years to the days when, you know, they played with a round ball. So, I mean, they didn't do anything really to improve their offensive line. I mean, Willie Colon's, you know, ex-Steeler, injury prone. You get rid of Sean Green, who at least could pound the ball, take a little bit of pressure off your quarterback situation. But, you know, losing Goodson hurts. I mean, nobody expected that, but it's par of course for the Jets.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, the only guy looking, I mean, Holmes is going to go mid to late rounds only because he's a brand name. Chris Ivory's going to go only because he's, With the situation with Goodson, Ivory's the starter. So, I mean, there aren't that many starting exclusive running backs. But, sorry, I'd rather go with somebody's backup right now than him as the star, somebody as a starter. Do you see anybody worth drafting on this team?
No. I see zero people worth drafting on this team. And what I find even another humorous thing is they go in with, you had mentioned it, all those quarterbacks on their roster. And then David Garrard retires. And who's going to be the quarterback coach on this team now? David Garrard. Really?
Yep.
Really? You can't do better than him for a team that needs desperate attention on getting their quarterback situation light years better? You're going to bring the guy who was the third, fourth string quarterback in to coach these guys? How in the world are they going to how are they going to automatically give this guy the respect that is needed to, you know, in a quarterback position? I just don't see it happening.
To me, what I learned on draft day was Sanchez's days are numbered. And the reason I say that is they didn't do anything to surround him with talent. They didn't get one in the first. They had two first-round picks. They went defense. First pick in the second draft or the second round of the draft, they went quarterback. To me, if I'm Mark Sanchez, I'm saying, what about me? Where's my weapons? What are you going to give me?
Well, even their picks in the draft, you know, their first two picks were risky picks, taking Geno Smith and D. Miller. I mean, really?
Well, and they got the defensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean.
So that's their three, the top three picks. Which was a glaring negative for Sanchez. And again, when you have your general manager saying your quarterback situation is day to day, I just got to laugh myself to sleep at that point. It's become it's side splitting. It's not even funny. It's side splitting at this point.
Well, the Raiders, they're obviously going to try and make some changes here, try and do some stuff. Quarterback situation was in such big flux, and I'm not really sure. Again, this is a team where why didn't they just pay the money, keep the guy that they had? What was wrong with what Palmer was doing there?
I'm looking at Palmer right now as a prima donna.
Ah.
You know, I just think maybe the guy went in there. For fantasy purposes, he was very productive. You would have been in contention if Carson Palmer was your starting quarterback.
He was throwing like crazy.
He had to. They had no running game. Goodson was hurt. McFadden was hurt. Their main guy was Marcel Reese, who's their fullback. But I think this year, you know, I'm looking at their offense. I like what I see. You know, Matt Flynn, I mean, nothing, there's no singing endorsements for Matt. He was traded to Seattle, and you know, he lost the job to a rookie quarterback.
Right.
And then the offensive coordinator in Green Bay could have traded for him, but chose not to. You know, that's saying loud there. And then he lost the starting job to a rookie. What's he going to do in this chaotic situation in Oakland? I don't look for much. Matt Flynn, at best, is somebody's number three quarterback. But there is some value here with Oakland's offense. Darren McFadden's going to go because he's Darren McFadden. And he's if he could stay healthy, he's top 10 running back. He doesn't really have anybody behind him, so he's going to get the bulk of the carries. So he's somebody you keep your fingers crossed when you draft him late in the first round or early second round. But if he stays healthy, you got yourself a stud running back. Receivers, no big names there, but Denarius Moore has proven he can get down the field. Jacoby Ford, if he can stay healthy, is a stud, especially if you get return yards. I keep waiting for this breakout season from this guy. If he could just stay healthy, which I'm hearing he is, he's a good sleeper late in the draft. Someone's got to catch the ball there. Somebody's got to get the 3,000 yards that are going to be thrown.
Yeah.
And I look at Moore and Ford as the two guys who are going to get it.
Rod Streeter turned it on last
year.
Yeah.
I mean, was it because there was, Ford was hurt, Bay was hurt?
Moore was hurt a lot last year.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically because there was nobody else, there's going to be there's 3,000 yards available. The question is who's going to catch it, and I think it's going to go to Denarius Moore, Jacoby Ford, and you're going to see a lot out of the backfield from Darren McFadden. So those are the only three that I see with fantasy value, with a flyer maybe late in the round for Marcel Reese, depending on how they utilize him.
Depending on if McFadden goes down, too, obviously. McFadden right. goes down, there isn't anybody. They got Rashard Jennings behind him, and Rashard Jennings proved that he could not do the job when given the opportunity in Jacksonville. So
well, now,
that job was handed to him, and he couldn't do it.
I've been hearing rumors that the quarterback that they drafted
yes.
has as good a shot as Flynn to win the starting Tyler Wilson. They're very high on him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something if yet another rookie beat out Matt Flynn in the preseason?
He should just retire right then.
He should just give it up at that point.
Or at least accept his fate as a second-string quarterback. That's what he should do.
Well, right. I look at it as with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Darren McFadden, if he looks like he's healthy, he's a good number one running back. You can get Moore and Ford and Streeter late in the draft and have a decent number four or five wide receiver. That's really all you're getting from the Oakland Raiders as far as fantasy value.
So, Terrell Pryor.
No.
Yeah. This guy, man, they all were excited about him. It's amazing. They're cutting Carson Palmer. Terrell Pryor's the man. He's going to do it. And then they sign Flynn. And then they draft a quarterback. And it's like, oh, yeah, never mind.
If they didn't sign Flynn and drafting a quarterback, okay. But they did both. They did both, which screams Terrell Pryor is not the answer. And it wouldn't shock me if they try and change his position.
He should move to tight end, absolutely.
Or make him a slash-type player.
Yeah.
But he will not be a quarterback.
Denarius Moore, starting wide receiver for your team?
If you go four wide receivers, I would say yes.
Four wide receivers?
You know, only because of the uncertainty at quarterback. We don't know if Flynn's any good.
You don't think he's top 24 then?
No.
No, not even top 24.
No.
Woo!
No.
Woo.
Honestly, I think if Jacoby Ford was healthy, I would put him up in front of Denarius Moore.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of what I've seen. When I've seen this guy play, I mean, he catches – he's a little guy, and that's why he's getting hurt. But, man, he catches everything. Goes up, jumps higher than any defensive back twice his size. Speed, he's lightning in a bottle. We just can't stay healthy.
You know, last week's discussion was a lot of stable teams, sticking with the status quo, making sure everything is just like it was last year, and which is great for owners of players on those fantasy teams. This week, it seems to be – all about the unstable teams, as we talked about the Jets and we talked about Oakland, and now we're talking about Philadelphia, yeah. who had one of the craziest, most stable runs in NFL history, actually. They've just exploded that, and they brought in a whole new head coach who everybody is thinking is going to be next big thing, kind of like, you know, when Spurrier came into the NFL.
Well, that was going to be my first question. When was the last college coach who's come in and won a Super Bowl?
And made a huge
impact. You know, or you know, I had this debate with somebody on my softball team. You know, they're talking, big Eagles fan. I live in the Philly area. You know, they were talking about how this team is going to do it. And I was like, well, when was the last situation like this where it's been successful? Oh, you guess. You know,
I can think of one.
You didn't see all the teams last year. What did they call that offense that they were all running last year?
Oh, the pistol?
But I was like, well, pocket passers still won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
So all these gimmicks and all these college things are going to come in. Bottom line is, this is what this organization needed to do. They needed to find somewhere to put Michael Vick, and this went with Nick Foles as their quarterback. And, you know, I was surprised at this coaching decision, honestly. You take stability with Andy Reid, and you bring in uncertainty, like you said. A lot of weapons, though. A lot of weapons.
Had a lot of weapons last year. That didn't get him very far.
Yeah, it all hinges on the quarterback. And honestly, I liked what I saw from Nick Foles.
Right.
And half the team gave up on the guy and on playing, but he still looked good.
He did look good. I'm telling you, you're right. Half the team gave up on him, and he was throwing those balls to those guys where they needed to be, and if they weren't there, it was their fault. He was throwing guys into people's helmets, and they weren't catching the ball for him.
What I liked about Nick Foles is, let's forget the numbers, the wins, whatever.
Absolutely.
Poise.
Yeah, he was getting chased down like a madman, and he was still
decision making.
Yeah, still looking down the field as he was throwing.
And accuracy.
Yeah. Not just running like a crazy man, even though the entire defense didn't have
happy feet there. Again, he didn't have DeSean Jackson. Probably better for that. He didn't have LeSean McCoy for most of that run. He had Bryce Brown. But they're probably going to go with Vic because he just brings a different dimension. I've always liked Michael Vick. I think he's a very good winner. He's not a winner.
I've never liked Michael Vick either. You know,
yeah, I've always liked the guy. I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, he's, you know, he made a mistake.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about him as a quarterback.
Yeah, right? I just, he's been a good fantasy quarterback.
I'm the guy who drafts Andrew Luck over RG3.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like
absolutely.
You said, 100%. It's still a pocket quarterback game. And he and Vic, you know, he's sitting there talking about, oh, I'm still the fastest quarterback in the league. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Did you,
have
you
have
ever learned
with
how
that
to
offensive
throw?
Line. But, yeah. You know, the thing is with Vic, his ball handling is terrible. So if you're going into the season with Mike Vick as your quarterback and you're enamored by the new offense and you're enamored by all the weapons he has around him, get ready for a lot of negatives.
He's got so many coaches fired too, Vic. I mean, everybody's trying to get in there and use him to try and run their offense. And they, for years and years and years, we're talking about 8 years in the league, they're talking about his throwing motion still. Seriously? Yeah.
What point are we going to give it up?
Yeah, give up. He can't throw. Just admit he cannot throw.
That's a quarterback situation I'm staying away from. If I'm in a redraft league or I'm starting a dynasty league and I'm going through my draft, get Nick Foles and sit on him because he's going to – I made a comment.
That's great advice.
I made a comment on one of our podcasts last year when we were talking about the rookie quarterbacks, and I said Nick Foles is going to be the second-best quarterback in that from that draft class, and I still believe it. It's going to be Andrew Luck, and then it's going to be Nick Foles.
Where does that put Barkley then?
No. The draft class of last year.
No, I know. What I'm saying, though,
Barkley's number
three.
You're
so high on Foles this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Barkley have any value at all?
No. Only in a keeper league.
How far in a
dynasty league?
How long can they expect to hang on to him before he even would give any dividends? Is this the same situation as before where it's a stash him and then trade him like the Giants situation?
Could be. And I think that's what may be on the horizon for Vic or Foles. One of those guys may go. Again, I mean, I just like what I saw from Nick Foles. I mean, I think he's got all the potential in the world, but he's not going to give you any fantasy value this year unless Vic goes down.
And so you'd say, okay, let me clarify again. Barkley, you sound like you just said Foles could be traded and Barkley could end up being the starter.
Well, he could be the bat. He'll be if they trade Foles, then that means
you think they'll trade Foles before they trade Barkley?
I don't think they're going to trade Barkley at all. They may go into this season with all three, see who comes out at the end of the year. One of them of the three is going to go one way or another. Quarterback of the future is going to be Foles or Barkley. I don't see Vic being that guy. Unless he comes in this year and has that dynamic year he had a couple of years ago. You know, but again, if you have three quarterbacks, you got none. You know, I mean, you can throw all the speculation out there. But as far as for fantasy purposes, I'm staying away from all three of them. Until I see how it shakes out, or if I'm in a dynasty league, I may want Foles. Because I think long term he has the most upside. But if I'm in a redraft league, Vic maybe is my backup or third string quarterback, but I'm staying away from that quarterback situation. I'm going to look at McCoy as a top or first round pick regardless. Even with the emergence of Bryce Brown, I still like McCoy as a top number one running back. I could see him as the fifth or sixth running back drafted.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking two or three even. He could really explode in this offense, I believe.
Well, right.
And then they brought in a new tight end. Now, this tight end that was hidden down south, I don't know what team he's on.
Houston.
Right now. Houston, that's right. Houston. Case. Not being used correct. So, you know, he's got these measurables that were, you know, similar to some of the most athletic tight ends in the league. So now they bring him in. Now,
I like him.
Is he going to get a lot of action, you think?
I think, well, you know, he was played more fullback in Houston. And then he started using him kind of like a full H-back type player. But I think if they use him as the second tight end to go with Celik, like a lot of teams are using, you'll see production from him. Again, I don't see him getting drafted unless they just name him the starter and he has a great preseason. But he's going to be a waiver wire pickup because he's going to have a couple of decent games, Scott Chandler-type games, and then you're going to see, you know, maybe Celik gets hurt. He's somebody that isn't going to be drafted, but it's going to be hot on a waiver wire 1 week. A lot of draftable wide receivers here in DeSean Jackson and Macklin. Again, I like DeSean Jackson a lot. I never, you know, new offense, smaller guy, not really fits the mold of what they're, other than the fact that he's fast. I think Macklin fits the mold for this offense more than DeSean Jackson. Guy can't stay healthy, DeSean Jackson. Just can't stay healthy.
I wonder how many times they're going to ask him to carry in this offense, too. I bet they do. I bet there's a lot of end-arounds in line for him. And then,
which means he's going to spend a lot of time
on the hurt again. Sidelines. Exactly. That's what
ankles,
concerns me.
Because that's what you have. You're getting guys out of position on defense, and what do? They start swiping at you, and they get that ankle. Macklin, I look for him to be the number one guy there. Sean Jackson's going to be the home run hitter. Again, if you get return yards, it makes him even more valuable. Avant, again, he's not really a draftable person. He may get drafted if you're really in a deeper league. But ultimately, you know, this team has a lot of fantasy value. It really does. I mean, Selick is going to get situated or draft based on the fact that he's, you know, in a good situation and past performances. Same thing with maybe Avant because, you know, he's on the Eagles and they expect these explosive offenses. But you're going to see DeSean Jackson go early. You're going to see Macklin go early based on past performances.
And this is going to be my warning to everybody. Avoid DeSean Jackson. He is a guy who is, just look at his history, he is a boom-bust receiver. You are going to be, you're going to find it so hard to put him in your starting lineup any week because he will have one catch for 15 yards 1 week, then he'll have three catches for 27 yards the next week, then he'll have three catches for 179 yards and two touchdowns the next week.
Feast or famine.
Yeah, you'll get all excited about it, but not only is he explosive, erratic like that, but I, as I already said earlier, I am not a fan of Michael Vick. He has never been able to find a wide receiver. He had Roddy White, and he couldn't find Roddy White when he was in Atlanta. He could only find Algie Crumpler, his tight end.
Yep.
So if you can't find Roddy White, huge, fast, hands like Velcro, you can't find him, this guy?
Yeah, didn't turn it on until he left.
Right. But, as soon as he leaves, here comes. So he's never been able to find the wide receiver. So I have little faith in him being able to find DeSean Jackson. Instead, here comes Casey. Maybe he finds his tight ends, no problem. So
I think this team, again, it's got all the talent. It's got some fantasy brand names, which they're going to get drafted because they're fantasy brand names. You know, I let DeSean Jackson go in my fantasy league, in our dynasty league. I just didn't see the value in keeping the guy. I just, exactly like you said, besides the fact that he gets hurt a lot, and I'm going to plug him in at 16 games. He's going to have 8 productive games.
Yes.
And you don't know when they're going to be. It may be all 8 in the first beginning of the year. It may be, you know, it's spread out, but he's only giving you 8 games. And if he gets hurt, he's still only going to give you 8 games, depending on how long he's hurt. He's just fast as the day is long, but man, I got sick and tired of it.
Absolutely.
Not knowing what...
I got lucky enough to trade him away in leagues a couple years ago when the guy looked at the final end year stats and said, that's pretty good. Thank you for not knowing exactly what was going on throughout the season.
Yeah, when you have him on your team, you really know the frustrations with him, and especially last year. This is a guy, you know, if this team starts out 1-3, 2-5, forget it. He's packing it in.
Yeah, he'll be the guy who, as he's 1 yard away from the end zone, just throws it out of the back of the end zone.
Well, right. Yeah. I forgot. You know, Macklin, you know, he's steady. Not as flashy as DeSean Jackson. I actually like him better.
I do, too.
And I think he fits that offense. He's just a little bit bigger of a wide receiver.
Yeah, maybe he'll be in the right place at the right time, too, where he's supposed to be. So, you know, you guys can follow us on Twitter at the Fantasy Blitz. Like I said last week, a couple more items are going up all the time. There's some real news happening, so I make sure I always post that kind of information, in case somebody gets in a bar fight, for example. Like that goes up. So make sure you do follow us. If you got any questions, fire them off right to us. I'll be sure to get back to you as quickly as possible. For the Blitz, I am Kyle Omler. That is Chris Bellina. And as always, thanks for listening, guys.
Take care.